Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. Amen. I'd like to read to you two different portions from Matthew's Gospel, from chapter 27 and then Matthew chapter 28. The next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." And then from chapter 28, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." This is the word of God. And dear fellow Christians rejoicing on this wonderful Easter morning, here's a headline for you. It's probably too small for most of you to see, but it says, "Earthquake unearths frozen space alien. It could be alive." This was actually a headline a few years ago in a supermarket tabloid. And so you know then that this headline is a hoax. It's a deception. They threw it out there with a hope that maybe somebody would buy the paper just to see if there really was an alien that was unearthed by this earthquake, and that way they could make a few dollars. Did you know that that's the way some people consider the resurrection of our Savior Jesus? They consider it just to be a hoax. The leaders of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, tried to get people to think that this was all just one big deception, that this was something that never happened or never could happen. In fact, this is what they said. "We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" And that wasn't the first time that the Jewish leaders called Jesus a deceptive person. They said, "He deceives many people." And to the temple guards who had heard Jesus preaching among them and teaching among them in the temple, and they were very impressed by Jesus' teaching, the leaders of the Jewish people said, "You mean Jesus has deceived you also?" So is Jesus a cheat, a fraud? Is the resurrection nothing more than one well-orchestrated hoax? Is news of the resurrection a frozen space alien story in a supermarket tabloid? The Lord wants to reassure you that that is not the case. Jesus rose from the dead just as was promised. He was truly dead, and he is truly alive. Together we just sang a beautiful hymn, "Christ," or "Jesus Christ is risen today." Now, in order for that to be true, that means that Jesus had to be dead so that he could actually rise from the dead. Now, we don't have a coroner's report from the city of Jerusalem, some kind of an autopsy report. But we can consider the evidence. We can consider the facts that have been brought to us. First of all, we have the evidence from the evangelists, those who wrote the Gospels. They were the ones who recorded for us. For example, this is Luke. "Father," Jesus said, "into your hands," as he was dying, he said, "I commit my spirit." And this is what Matthew said. He gave up his spirit. That's the Christian definition of death, the separation of body and soul. Jesus' body was on the cross, and his soul was committed into the hands of his Father, separation of body and soul. Jesus was truly dead. There's other evidence, too. How about that centurion, that Roman commander of 100 is what a centurion means, who was there at the foot of the cross as Jesus was being put to death? This is the one who said, it said, "When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" This centurion certainly saw his share of death. He knew that Jesus had not just fainted from the pain or passed out from the pain. Jesus was truly dead. We also have evidence from the other soldiers. There were soldiers that were sent out towards the end of the shift to go and make sure that the criminals dying on the cross were dead. And they would go and break the legs of these criminals. According to some historical accounts, they would take a big mallet and they would go out, and as those people were hanging on the cross, they would smash their legs so that it would increase their pain and hurry up their death, because they didn't want to wait around for the next shift to have to come in. So these guys would finally die. But when they came to Jesus, they didn't do that. Why? Because he was already dead. When they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. And this, of course, was all exactly as was prophesied by King David in Psalm 34 and later reiterated by John in his gospel. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled: not one of his bones will be broken. Jesus was really dead. There are so many other evidences in the scriptures and from those who were there. There is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who took Jesus' body down from the cross and began the embalming process. There's the Jewish leaders themselves, who decided they had to post a guard there so nobody would mess with the dead body of Jesus. I know there are a lot of people, believe it or not, there are people out there who say this was some kind of a hoax. Perhaps Jesus did one of these things where he could control his breathing and lower his heart rate, this Harry Houdini magic thing. But the evidence is truly outstanding. And it's not just evidence from friend, but friend and foe, friend and enemy, that said, this guy is dead. This may sound a little strange, but we take comfort in the fact that Jesus actually died. Well, it was a horrible, terrible death. We all know that. But we take comfort in his death because his death was the payment that was demanded. That blood that he shed, that poured out of him that day, was what was demanded for our sins, the things that you and I think and say and do that are so wrong and so opposite of what God asks and tells us to do. And yet Jesus was willing to allow himself to be that sacrificial lamb, to give up his life on the cross so that we might have life. And we can live every day today with peace and comfort and joy in our hearts and our lives because of this death. But Jesus' death is only half the story. Just as certainly as Jesus died, so certainly he also came to life. He rose from the dead. The chief priests and the teachers of the law try to make it look like it was a hoax. In fact, we have this recorded for us, that on Easter morning they devised a plan, it says. They gave the guards who had been at the tomb a large sum of money and instructed them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." So the leaders wanted to make it look like it was the Christians who were making up this whole story, but in reality, it was the Pharisees who were making up this story and were even putting money under the table to try to convince people to lie for them. Once again, Jesus' resurrection is no deception. Consider the evidence. When the women went there that morning, that early Sunday morning, they were astonished because the guard was gone, the stone was rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, and there was nobody in it. And of course, logically, they're thinking, well, the gardener must have moved his body and put it in another burial site. Or, even worse, maybe somebody did come and steal his body, and now we're not going to know where it is so we can finish the embalming process on him. That's what they were thinking until angels appeared. And the angels spoke to the ladies to comfort and reassure them, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Now we know that the devil is an angel. He's a fallen angel. He's a lying angel. His name means slanderer. He's a scoundrel. But the good angels of God cannot lie. They are confirmed in their holiness, and they will not and they cannot possibly tell a lie. And so they said to the women, "He has risen just as he said." There are many others who testified. First of all, the women, after they saw Jesus, went back and told the disciples. The disciples that very night saw Jesus minus Thomas, and the next week Thomas was there as well, and they saw Jesus also. And this wasn't just like for a few minutes, like they were maybe hallucinating because of the deep fog of grief in which they were in. I remember a time in my life when my grandfather had passed away, and this was right after his funeral. And I went into a grocery store in Watertown where I went to college, and there was a guy standing there, and he looked just like my grandfather. I almost jumped out of my skin. I thought, Grandpa's back from the grave. That was a mistake. That was a hallucination from perhaps grief. But that's not what this was. The disciples spent 40 days with Jesus, both in Judea and in Galilee as well. They ate with him. They drank with him. They did all sorts of things with Jesus. And so they knew that he was alive. And consider this. Every one of the disciples was willing to die in order to share the news that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And according to church tradition and history, many of them did die sharing that news for others. How sure were they that Christ had risen from the dead? There have been a lot of religious leaders that have led a lot of different religions in this world, and they're all in a grave somewhere, except this one, except Jesus Christ. His grave is empty because he has power over death. And the wonderful part is he uses that power for you. His power over death gives you power over death. Since Jesus' time, that of the early New Testament, Christianity has swept over the world. We're not talking here 30 or 40 people living in some kind of a cult compound like Waco, Texas, or Jonestown, Guyana. We're talking about a vast army of people in this world who live all over this planet, who believe that Jesus died for them and that Jesus rose again from them, are convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in them that Jesus truly rose from the dead. And since Jesus' resurrection is not a deception, that means that our lives are not going to end up in a dead end at Esterbrooks or Ledgeview or Rienzi or some other cemetery. When we lay our Christian loved ones into the ground in those cemeteries, and when one day our loved ones lay us in the ground in a cemetery, that is the end of nothing. It is the beginning of something perfect. Jesus Christ has truly risen today. And we sing that with conviction because it means that one day we will rise as Jesus rose with glorified body. We are strangers here, as we often sing. Heaven is our home. In a couple of minutes, we're going to sing together this beautiful hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and then we're going to add, what comfort this sweet sentence gives. For 2,000 years, that message has been bringing comfort to our Christian families. And for 2,000 years, our Christian families have been sharing this message of comfort with others. Rejoice, fellow Christians. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Please stand.